Voice Junkie. A podcast for nerds, unapologetic truths that are put in these words.
Voice Junkie.
A place to talk sports, politics, and pop culture. See who's holding the torch.
Voice Junkie.
Who's saying the best? None other than the protagonist, Mr. Chuck West.
Voice Junkie.
Now tune in and listen to Trendaholics in full effect and giving you wisdom.
So yeah, I pulled up this clip from a Palestinian comedian by the name of, a Palestinian American comedian by the name of Nina Carafe. I hope I pronounced her name correctly, but she goes into a whole, she's having an interview with Mehdi Hassan of Zateo, the media outlet Zateo. And she's just talking about her American experience, you know, everything that's going on in the world today, as far as the obvious genocide going on in Gaza, and quiet people in the country, people who remain quiet, the Zionist who poisoned us in school all our lives, telling us Israeli propaganda, essentially, and not even remotely trying to educate us on, you know, Arab people and what's actually happening in the Middle East. So she goes into this whole thing about how she got into it with a Zionist apologist, basically a teacher or whatever. And then she also goes on to rail on DJ Fatfuck, aka DJ Khaled. Let's get to it, because she had a lot of interesting things to say, and I had to definitely share this with you guys.
Like, that's not enough. And I was just arguing with all the history teachers, and they all thought I was crazy. And I was like, hey, these Zionists are trying to erase us. And everyone told me that I was just spreading propaganda and no one would listen. And now, 2026, everyone's like, oh, actually, the Palestinians were right all along.
Well, not everyone, but lots of people. Not enough people.
But lots more.
And you said you've always been advocating and speaking out. I feel like a lot of the Palestinians in the arts world that I've interviewed, spoken to, we've had a lot of interesting people on here. Aniz, Sami Obeid, a lot of good guests on here have come on and talked about being Palestinian and using their comedy in that way. There is one person in the entertainment world.
DJ Fatfuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't say much or anything.
I just don't get it. You know, in the beginning, you were like, okay, maybe brand deals, whatever, blah, 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 money. Now I think he's just trolling us.
He's
just not going to say anything just to spite
everyone. Before
it was
like, do they have shit on him? Is he in the Epstein files?
There has to be some insane reason why he's not saying anything. And it can't be monetary. He's already rich. And it's okay to say things now.
He's a piece of shit.
It's not what it was 10 years ago.
That could be that,
too. You're not going to lose your job.
Just being a piece of shit.
I mean, if white celebrities can say stuff. We've had Mark Ruffalo on the show.
I mean, Drake is saying it. Like,
even Channing Tatum signed the ceasefire. I always point that out to people. Like, Channing Tatum is like an action star, himbo, whatever you want to call it. He signed the ceasefire letter right at the beginning, but DJ Khaled is silent, and I just don't understand it.
I just don't get it. There has to be some reason. And I'm like,
you know anyone who knows him? Can we find out? Because we're asking.
No.
The Palestinian grapevine?
But I know his family got harassed in the West Bank.
Oh, no.
Not that they deserve it.
They're like, it's not our fault that he's a piece of shit.
But also, make him say something.
Like, you spoke a lot about what was happening.
And there you have it. The guy is, I'm just happy. I wanted to share it because his silence is finally starting to trickle out to the mainstream and to the people who are actually covering all of this atrocities going on in the Middle East. People are legit perplexed to Khaled's silence. It's not even like, we're beyond the criticism of like, oh, you know, you need to be on the side of freedom for the Palestinians and this and that. We're beyond that because this has been going on for over 2 years now and your silence now is starting to, people are starting to question it, rightfully so. They're starting to say, dude, you are strangely silent. I mean, to the point where you're like, you're on Ambien or something. Like somebody has to tap you and say, hey man, hey, wakey, wakey. Your people are being eradicated from the planet. Your fucking people are being eradicated from the planet. Do you care at all? Do you have a pulse in there of morality? So I thought, I'm just mad that I didn't come up with the name before Nina did. DJ Fatfuck. That's definitely what I'm going to start calling him, because it is a different level of disgust you have to carry, or a different level of immorality that you have to carry around, a different type of cowardice that you have to be comfortable with to watch the destruction of your homeland, the destruction of your people. You're no different than an Uncle Tom. I'm from the Black community. We from African Americans. We came up with a lot of slogans, a lot of terms. One of those terms is Uncle Tom. If you don't know what a fucking Uncle Tom is, go watch Django Unchained and watch the character that Samuel L. Jackson played. That is an Uncle Tom. Selling your people out any chance you get for your oppressor. That's an Uncle Tom. What the fuck you think DJ Khaled is? He ain't no different than an Uncle Tom. Selling out your people by being quiet just so you can keep taking money from the very Zionists that want to wipe your people off the planet. How fucking disgusting. I hope you enjoy your disgusting palatial estate out in Miami. I hope all the birds, all the people, the pool boy, whoever go there and have access to your pool, I hope they piss and shit in it. That's how I feel about DJ Fat Fuck. I'm glad Nina brought it up. Well, that's about my two cents about that guy. Moving on to the next topic. Now it's time for some good old Dame Dash clownery. Let's get to it. Bruh, let's just keep it real, man. Oh, so many things to say. I'm going to give Cam's response to Cameron's response, because that's who he's really shooting at, talking about the cheap teeth. And Dame's at a point now where he doesn't care if he's being laughed at or laughed with. And that's sad. A lot of cats that are in this position now, like, where they want the attention and over anything now. It's like, bro, as long as you're talking about me and I'm not forgotten, I will endure you laughing at my expense just so you can talk about me. And that is sad. That is a sad state of affairs to be in. Before I get into my other opinions on Dame, let's get into Cam's opinion. I think Cam said some. Cam do what Cam do as far as nobody reacts. It's not many people who can react like Cam. All right, let's see what Cam said.
I don't even want to laugh, man.
You know, shit is hard. This is hard.
I'm starting to be like, I don't like.
The shit almost not even funny anymore.
They've been a funny nigga for a long time. Like he's a funny nigga. But this isn't funny. And it's
this shit ain't like, funny at all. This shit is not funny at all.
Man, is anybody going to tell him? Who's around him to tell him, like, yo, that ain't it, bro. That ain't it, man. Because I used to tell him. I would tell a nigga, like, yo, bro, you can't do this. This ain't it. Now, you don't think so, Ken? No, I don't think so. It's nobody around to tell him yo, that's not it, bro. You shouldn't do that. You're looking kind of crazy. There's nobody to tell them that. It's like, you know, the name. So the name of the song, right? If I remember, it's called.
These niggas can't even keep a straight face to talk about this dumbass shit that Dame did.
And I'm like, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, right? It's a few factors to factor into this, right? First of all, he was talking about me. He said my teeth was cheap. My teeth were cheap because I paid $52,000 for my teeth. So the first thing he said, yeah, my first teeth was
cheap. Shit, that ain't cheap.
Hold on. I'm like, yeah, first teeth.
Oh, shit.
You mean your first teeth?
Oh, shit. Wait, hold up. Brokies like myself got to chime in real quick. $52,000 for some cheap. Jesus Christ. $52,000 for some cheap teeth. God damn, Dame. You fucked me up. This cheap teeth bullshit. $52,000 for some teeth is a lot of money for a brokey like myself. I'm sorry. And especially if my teeth still came out just as good as yours, which fell in a cup of fucking liquor, alcohol on a live stream. Bro, you don't have any standings in this. This is what Cam's going to get to. He's like, bro, you don't have the right to talk about cheap teeth when your teeth fell out your fucking face. What are you talking about? You sound like you sound crazy right now. All right, let's get back to Cam.
Yo, what do you mean? First of all, let's see if you get it from God. That's the first thing. God and your parents give you your first teeth. Let's start there. So you mean your second teeth. So your second teeth was $200,000 and they fell out. What kind of teeth are that? How is your teeth $200,000 and then they fall out? Yo, my first teeth was $200,000. What? And then they fell out. I would be mad. I should expect nothing to happen with $200,000 teeth. So I that happens. I'm sitting there like, yo, maybe you shouldn't say nothing that your first teeth was $200 and then they fell out. Maybe somebody should say that. Then the next thing is what I take from that is, I guess he got his new teeth in, and he's telling niggas, yeah, my teeth course is crazy. Yo, I bet you my dentist got more cars in his garage than Cam dentist got in his garage. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. His philosophy on why his teeth is better because his dentist got more cars in the garage. And I said, yo, this is getting scary. But what I took from that too is like, he said, one of the shits he said soon was, yeah, I can say fuck niggas now. I didn't want to say fuck niggas because I was scared my teeth was going to fall out. What? Yo, hold on, bro. Yo, so nobody's going to say nothing about this.
Yes, sad, man. Sad state of affairs for Dame Dash, who once was a great entrepreneur. Still a great person when it comes to, you know, advice and giving the word of entrepreneurship, giving yourself self-empowerment, believing in yourself when you were creating brands and those types of things. He was kind of a pioneer in the hip hop space when it came to that. People looked up to him. I looked up to him. So to see a guy who clowned goofiness suddenly turn into a goofy is culture shock for me. 21-year-old me wouldn't even believe the shit that I'm seeing and hearing from Dame Dash today. And that is a sad state of affairs. The thing is, as you age in life, you start to see these things. You start to see the good and the bad. And you start to see the truth behind a lot of stuff as well. And man, it's just a sad state of affairs to see Dame Dash in this delusional state that he's in. Somebody need to talk to him. Because I tell you what, all I can think about when I seen that PU bullshit that he put up, I said, if he has sisters around him, no disrespect to the girls and the women and that's around him, but if he has some sisters around him, they would not allow half of the shit that he's been doing because they would clown his ass before he would even think about releasing it. That's a fact. I'm sorry. Just speaking my truth. All right, man. Hopefully this will be the last time I talk about Dame Dash because I really don't want to talk about this sadness anymore because it makes me sad, quite frankly. All right, we got some decent NBA trades going on. The trade deadline is, you know, a little ways away, but the NBA free agency is getting off to a great start with a couple noticeable names that already been moved. Everybody already knows Giannis being one of the guys moved, going to Miami, as you can see. And the recent big name that just came off the board as far as the NBA's free agency, whatever you want to call it, victims or casualties, is Ja Morant. Ja Morant is finally moved out of Memphis. If you follow the league, man, he's had a tumultuous time there. He seems to have a tough time with cameras and guns. So now that he's being shipped out to Portland, and look at the package that he shipped out with. I mean, he was only the Grizzlies sent Morant to the Trailblazers in exchange for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray, kicking off a rebuild in Memphis that included drafting Cameron Boozer. But at the same time, what I thought that was so hilarious, because Cameron Boozer is a great player to start your franchise with, in my opinion. If you want to reboot and you want to do it the right way, rebuild with players with character who don't really get into trouble. Cameron is a blue chipper. His dad is Carlos Boozer, obviously. So you're not going to really get any real issues with this kid. He's just going to come to work and play basketball. And that's what you want when you Memphis. You've had enough of the knuckleheads of the past. You got rid of a lot of them. You got rid of Dylan Brooks. Even though Dylan Brooks has resurrected his career out in Phoenix, he looks great. He's actually better. He made an all-star game. So if anything, shit, they probably got rid of Dylan Brooks a little too early. But he was gone once Dylan Brooks left, to be honest. The culture changed. Because I think Dylan Brooks really was the culture. So once he left, then you got rid of Desmond Bane. He went off into Orlando. And now you finally got rid of your star player of that era. And you can't remember JJJ. Jackson Jr., who was moved as well. All of those guys in that era who, you know, was winning games for such a long time in Memphis, they're all gone now with the departure of Ja Morant being the last one to leave out of that group. Like I said, that's Desmond Bane. That's JJJ as far as Jackson Jr. And you had Dylan Brooks. Now Ja Morant. So Ja Morant didn't really go for much. Jeremy Grant, no disrespect to Jeremy Grant, because Jeremy Grant was a big piece of this because of his money, and it allows them to move Ja Morant. But let's be clear, like, we're moving Ja Morant for pennies on a dollar. They just didn't want to have homie anymore. The funny thing about it is, like, I was trying to get to it before I ran into something else and I was rambling on to something else. The funny thing with this whole Ja Morant thing is they traded a knucklehead and they're returning and they're receiving another knucklehead with Isaiah Stewart from Detroit. So you're getting rid of blicky loving Ja Morant in exchange for, I'm going to punch you in the face, Isaiah Stewart. That motherfucker done been in so many fights. So I don't even understand that. I get that. I guess they want bigs over there that are tough. He would instantly be an enforcer for Cameron Boozer. Maybe that's why they did it. They say, yo, we need an enforcer. Ain't no better enforcers out on the market right now that's young and just ready to just wreck shit right now other than Isaiah Stewart. The guy's a little off his rockers. Go check him on YouTube. You'll see what I'm talking about. If there was a skirmish, if there was a little fight of any type of heat going on between a team, he's in the middle of it. Trust me. But yeah, that's so far. That's what the biggest names have been traded so far is Ja Morant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Ja Morant thing is so interesting because now Portland is going to have a ton of guards to play with. I don't know what they're doing over there. I don't know if they're going to have hold their own summer league and cut whoever ain't going to make the team or not. But I'd like to think that they're not going to do that. I like to think that they're going to, you know, trade some of those assets. Now you got Scoot, Scoot Henderson or whatever. You got, you know, a lot of pieces that you can trade. They're talking about a potential trade to get Jaylen Brown over there. I mean, I don't know how that would work really for the Celtics in that case, because it's like you did get Anthony Simons from them and you traded him away. Now you think about it's like if you kept Anthony Simons all along, it would have been a little easier to get rid of Jaylen Brown. But now you're going to get rid of him for more guards. You know, me, I'm not getting nothing in a package from Portland unless Klingon is involved in it. Because you still need a big if you're the Celtics. I'd be like, bruh, I need a good. Because you got to make the money make sense. So how are you going to do that? You're going to get Drew Holiday back? A returning Drew Holiday back? They're high on Klingon, but maybe you can get Klingon. Because I would ask for him. Shit, it's Jaylen Brown. He was number five. And he was in the top five for MVP this year. The level of disrespect that Jaylen Brown is getting is comical to me. To be honest, it's comical. He proved it. He's a top guy. He fucking proved it. Whether you like him or not, he proved it this past season by making the Celtics the number two seed in the league without Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown did that. All right? We have to give this dude his credit, give him his just due. He is a top guy. He is a superstar. So this devaluing of Jaylen Brown is a little ridiculous to me. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. But you know what I mean? Fair and right is left for fairs, country fairs. You know what I mean? But I think that Portland might be making a move. Who knows? But that Ja Morant thing is going to be interesting. That is Guantanamo Bay, but in a good way. Because Portland's a nice place where he can restart and hopefully get his career back on track, man. Because anybody who follows the game sees that this kid is talented, or this young man is talented. He's just running with the wrong people. And if I was him, just like a lot of people have already said, I would leave to Portland by my goddamn self and not bring any of those knuckleheads with me that got me into trouble in the first place. I'm damn sure not bringing the dude that turned the camera on in the car when I had the blicky on my lap when I was already in trouble. Why would you put the fucking camera on? I wouldn't bring that motherfucker for sure. He can't come to Portland with me. Sorry, buddy. Fuck. DM messages on IG, brother. That's what you get. But so far, that's the biggest names. The Chicago Bulls, I got to put my team in there. They got Nick Claxton in a trade that sent, you know, the T-Wolves sent out Julius Randle to Brooklyn, sent them back to New York. They said, look, man, you suck in the playoffs. And we can no longer support your sucking in the playoffs because we need to make moves. We have finite time with Ant Edwards until he decides he might want to leave this motherfucker. So we got to do something now. And right now that involves you going right back to Brooklyn. We get Nick's, like I said, Bulls get Nick Claxton, which is really cool. And, you know, now we got a bunch of young athletic guys, Caleb Wilson that we drafted. Man, I can't wait to watch the Bouzelis we still have. We still have Josh Giddey. We got a lot of interesting and exciting players come to watch in Chicago next year. So I am looking forward to tuning in on the League Pass like I always do every season. All right. What other trades do I want to talk about before or free agency potential acquisitions? Yeah, so those are the big moves so far. And as far as speculation is concerned, you know, obviously it's Jaylen Brown. He will be traded at some point. I'm sure of that. But you also have the aspect of LeBron. What is LeBron going to do? You know, LeBron is always going to find a way into the news cycle. He loves being talked about. His vanity is some of the greatest we've ever seen. He always finds a way to get talked about in the offseason. His decision or whatever the Lakers are going to do as far as bringing him back to the organization, paying him all the money he wants. They just paid Austin Reeves. So he's not going to take $15 million. So the question is, what's next for him? Is he going to walk away? You know, a lot of reports got him potentially going to Golden State in a package that'll have Anthony Davis going there with him somehow. I don't know. I don't know what the validity is to that. It could sound like a lot of pie in the sky, but at the same time, maybe it's some smoke there because Draymond opted out of his deal. So maybe he opted out of his deal to open up more space under the cap to make all of this happen. Who knows? But let's just say that the markets are just now unfolding and we're in the middle of the week. Man, oh man, who knows what we're going to hear by the end of the week? Tune in because I'm going to let you know regardless.